for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2008 Labor Day Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday afternoon, August the 31st, 2008. Carla Batard is the speaker of the service, teaching on Adam anger, Eve anger.
Okay, everybody awake? Actually, I just realized that a year ago, the Lord gave me the title for this message. While I was spider bit, laying in the bed. I laid in the bed for 6 weeks. Sometimes I didn't even know where I was, but when I started kind of coming to, He dropped two titles on me. I won't tell you what the other one is, but this one is called Adam Anger / Eve Anger. Adam Anger / Eve Anger. It took a whole year for me to put this together because I'd never looked at it quite in this respect. And as I look back, I can see that it's been going on in my life probably since I was born, maybe even before. So I think there must be some spirits attached to this thing. It's been around since the beginning. It's an age-old problem. Today, we can find it in the home, the church, the playgrounds, the workplace, marriages, friendships, in the schools, in sports. I mean, I don't care where you go. Even if there's only women together, you're going to find Eve anger. Woman-on-woman anger. It's innate. It was inborn. It was there, even though we didn't know about it. And it's been there from the beginning. Let's open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. What's the root of this? And I'm fixing to show you. I sure wish my husband was here. And my sons and my daughter. Okay, Genesis 3. And we're going to start at verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And of course, that's exactly what God said. Except Eve said, And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. Now, if she would have stopped and thought about that, see, all she knew to this point was good. She should have stopped right there with good. Because that's exactly what she got when she bought the devil's lie. She got evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now see, he was right there with her. I don't know, for some time I thought she kind of, I probably saw it in a movie or something, that they were sleeping and she got up and she went and ate. And he said, oh, like, what have you done? She said, oh, had some, you know. But no, he was right there with her. And he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened and they knew that they were naked. And Clement Humbard told us this morning why they lost the glory of God when this happened. And now they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Because they lost the glory and the good. Now they had evil and fear. So they're hiding. They also, rebellion and sin, disobedience. See, all those things go together. Now they're hiding from God. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where are ye?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid." See, fear came in. That was one of the first things that came in, fear. That's why it's so big and so rooted, because it's been with us forever. "Because I was naked and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat." Now, here's the root of Eve anger. See, Adam is getting called on the carpet, so to speak. But the first thing he does is blame Eve. The woman. So, Eve anger entered in. See, it's already happening. Eve anger entered in. What Adam really said, for a long time I thought it was the woman you gave me. But when I started putting this down, I saw this. It was the woman you gave me. You know, actually, he's blaming God for his mess, which, you know, of course, we all have done that. We suffer the consequences of our own sin and say, "What's up with that?" We start blaming God for our mess. So, Adam not only blamed Eve, he also blamed God. Now, there's some God anger there, too. There's Adam anger at Eve. We're going to see Eve anger at Adam. But there was also Adam anger at God. And, of course, she came from man, so she had that, too. So much in this. So Adam anger at that moment entered Eve. Because it's like, how dare you? You were right there with me. There was a spirit of offense that came into Eve. Man, she got offended at Adam. So here's the big spirit of offense. And the fault-finding spirit. Adam's like, "That's not my fault. It must be your fault or her fault. Surely it can be mine." And a critical spirit. And the blame game. Shifting blame. So, Eve anger entered Adam. And every one of us has done this. It's the result of disobedience. Genesis 3:14, let's look at that. "Now, because this happened, we lost the good." Well, there's good and evil, but we have more trouble with the evil because good is good. We don't have a problem with good. We have a problem with evil. So in verse 14, God said, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle." He's talking to the serpent. "And above every beast of the field." Well, and Eve blames the serpent. We all know she blamed the serpent. So everybody's blaming each other. And then the curse was placed on the serpent, on the cattle, on the man, on the woman, and on the earth. That was the curse. And it was never meant to be that way. Look at Genesis 2, verse 18. God created Adam, placed him in the garden. It was good. "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him and help fit for him," or meet for him. "And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help fit for him." Now see, here's something else. When Mike and I first got married, he got this little dog. He had always wanted a German Shepherd dog. And so he bought one right before we got married, and he didn't tell me he was going to buy this dog. And that's, you know, red flag. But, you know, those things are not going to happen after we get married, right? So anyway, here we are married, and he has this dog. And every evening he would come home from work after we got married. He would come home from work, and I would be upstairs. It was a garage apartment, so I was upstairs cooking supper. And he would be downstairs frolicking with the dog. Now, I was jealous of that dog because he loved that dog. He spent time with that dog. He played with that dog. He, oh, man. And I would look out the curtain. What is the deal? I was jealous of a dog. Can you believe that? But when I started doing this teaching, I thought, oh, Lord, I understand now. He spent more time with the animals before Eve ever came along. He hung out with the animals. He knew what to do with the animals. He didn't know what to do with the woman. I'm not sure the man knows yet what to do with the woman, except that which comes naturally. But he hung out with the animals. So he knew what to do with the dog. He had no idea what to do with a wife. He still knows more what to do with a dog. We had this stray come up. Let me tell you, he is a mercy man. We live out in the country, and there are stray dogs coming to our house all the time. All the time. And he will save, I don't care where we go to eat, he'll save whatever little morsel is left to bring home to the dogs. They run when they hear his truck to see what he's brought them. So he lays it out for them and pets them while they eat. And it's really sweet. So what did God do? In verse 21, now, you know, it must have taken a long time for him to name all those animals. So, you know, he was used to the animals. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made a woman and brought her unto the man. So, you know, you look at this, you've heard this before, there's nothing new under the sun. And really and truly, there's nothing new under the sun. Because if you look at this, you know, men go to medical school to learn how to be an anesthesiologist, to put people in a deep sleep to do surgery. And God did it first. He performed the first surgery. He also did the first CPR. Because when he formed Adam, there was no life in him. So he breathed into his nostrils. That's CPR? Or whatever you call it. Breathed into him, and he became a living soul. He took a bone and made a woman. Is that like cloning? You know, today we're taking one cell and growing something. God took a rib and made a woman. How about that? See, there's nothing new. Now, when Adam was formed, he was complete. It says that he was made in God's image and after his likeness. And God is complete. We know that. We call him Father, but he really had all the attributes of a man and a woman. He was whole, totally complete. And Adam was made like God. Totally complete. See, the woman was in him. He took the woman out of the man. So now we have a man and a woman. When he took the rib out, he took everything feminine and made the woman. He took the estrogen out and left the testosterone. He took the emotions out and left the logic. So that's why we're so different. Men are logical, women are emotional. When God brought Eve to Adam, now, you know, he named all the animals. He'd never seen that one. And when he woke up, God brought her to him. And Jane said this in one of her teachings to the ladies. He took a look, he goes, "Whoa, man." He called her woman. Then he's thinking, you know, we look in the scriptures. And Adam said in verse 23, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." Isn't that beautiful? I don't think that's really how it happened. I think he went, "Bone, my bone. Flesh, my flesh." And he got jealous. She had his stuff. I thought that was kind of funny. It wasn't like, "Oh, you shall be bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." Wait a minute. And see, that's why a man is always looking for a woman. He wants that bone back. She's got his stuff and he wants it back. But really, the man and nor the woman is complete without each other. Thank you. That's why God created the woman for the man to be his helpmate. See, we grow up, we have boyfriends and girlfriends. We don't have the slightest idea what it was really all about. In fact, later we'll see what it is all about. And so, he calls her woman. This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother. That's something we need to pay attention to. And shall cleave unto his wife. You know, sometimes a guy will marry a woman and he's still so tied to his mom and dad, they come before the wife. That's wrong. Once you get married, you leave mom and dad. When those cases are like that, it's usually he brings the woman back to mom and dad, and then, oh, whoa. Jesus said, "You think I came to bring peace? I brought a sword between the mother and the daughter-in-law." I thought that was interesting. It's not the mother and the daughter. It's the mother and the daughter-in-law. Interesting. See, I think that's why that thing is there. There's Eve anger between the mother and the daughter-in-law. Because after all, she's got his boy, her boy. And you know, the son and the mother relationship is really strange. Because mom was actually his first love. Little boys. Little girls with their daddies. Oh, her prince. It can cause problems in a marriage. Okay. So, have you done that in your marriage? Have you cleaved to your wife? And mom and dad are still there. You still honor them and everything. But that relationship dynamic of loyalty and, you know, that belongs to the wife now. She should be first in his life. No more mom and dad. They're second now. And that's tough for some parents to take. And they shall be one flesh. One flesh. That is a mystery. That should be a prayer. That should be a blessing that is spoken over every couple when they get married. I decree that you are now one flesh. You know, something spoken, a blessing of being one. Because what happens usually is you have one man coming together and one woman coming together, and they leave, and they're no more one flesh than the man in the moon. They're a woman who's caught a man, and a man who's got a woman. But that oneness, it takes it shouldn't take that long, but I believe this is a dynamic, this Adam anger, Eve anger thing, that is has stood in the way of men and women becoming one. Okay, that word cleave means to cling, adhere, to catch by pursuit, that's part of it, to follow close after, and be joined together. The one flesh, there's a oneness and a unity. How many couples do you know who really have unity? True unity. It's hard to find sometimes. But I believe that after we deal with this Adam anger and Eve anger, it's going to pull down that thing that keeps us from being one flesh and having that unity that God created us to have. Okay, so let's look at the curses for a minute. The curse on the woman, we don't care about the serpent. He's getting his. The curse on the woman was greatly multiplied sorrow and conception. This has to do with childbirth. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. This is Genesis 3:16. And let me tell you what that word sorrow means. Sorrow means anguish or extreme pain or distress of the body or mind, mentally, emotionally, and physically. Sadness, continued pain or distress. Afflictions, any cause of continued pain or distress. It means blemishes and destructions. That's what the word sorrows means. So, see, that was part of the curse. And then in Isaiah 53, it says that Jesus took those things. He took our sorrows, right? So do you see, ladies, that this curse, Jesus has, he became the curse so we could be delivered from the curse. So that was one of the first things that stuck out to me when I was first born again. The next year I got pregnant with my first baby, and this reality came to me, and I had babies with no pain. Because it's the Word. He took the curse, he became the curse, and the curse was broken. Therefore, I was like, look at this. Jesus suffered my childbirth on the cross. Thank you, Jesus. And I had no babies. I had three babies with no pain. That's miraculous. Miraculous. But now in there, sadness, continued pain or distress, it's in mind, emotions, it's a lot more than just having babies. Thy desire shall be to thy husband. And I had to think on that one for a while. Because, you know, we all get married, our desire is to our husband. But over the years, as I have looked at marriages, and my own in particular, what I get out of that is that my desire to my husband was actually to have his place. My desire was for his position. See? Because he was the head. When that happened in the garden and he blamed her, she didn't like it. When she was standing there thinking about eating that apple and he stood there and didn't say a word, she was unprotected. And the result of that, if he had just said, wait a minute, he probably heard the serpent too. Wait just a minute. God said, don't you touch that. Don't you dare eat that. But he didn't do that. So now she doesn't trust him being her leader. Does that make sense? Because of what Adam did. We don't trust any of you guys. I mean, I believe that is an innate thing that happened in the garden, and it entered every woman, it entered every man, and it's been causing us problems for centuries. Okay. So, there was competition now. Because God put him there, and she doesn't want him there. So there is a struggle in the house, a power struggle between the husband and the wife. Because that right after that, it says, he shall rule over thee. I don't think so. See, it's a rebellion. It stirred up just rebellion. She does not want to submit to the husband or to God. It's just rebellion. The ideal thing before sin was that they were partners. You've heard that saying, you know, the bone didn't come out of his foot for her to be walked over. It didn't come out of, I don't remember the rest of it, but y'all have heard what I'm talking about. It came out of his side because they were going to be partners. It wasn't the divine plan for man to rule over woman. That was part of the curse. So if you come into Jesus Christ, that's not the standard anymore. The standard is you're one. You're one. Now, we're going to look at some other things later for our own protection. He does, because there's an order. It's like the church, but we'll look at that later. Okay, let's look at Romans 5. Go to Romans 5, verse 12. You know, I'm not even really sure we need to read these. For time's sake, I'm going to cut those out. Because I basically just said that. This is, wherefore, as by one man entered into the world, you know, we all know it came in through Adam, and death entered in, and all of that. So I don't need to read that. He became the curse. And when he shed his blood, he redeemed us from that curse and bought us back. That's what redeemed means, bought us back to the original state of that of Adam and Eve. So now, if you're married and you've come into Christ, now we are back under that original thing that God created, that it was supposed to be good. Okay? That was the point that I wanted to make. Now, the curse on the man in 3:17, let's look at that. This is interesting, too. There are some things that stuck out here. 3:17. Now he says unto Adam, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. Stop right there. God said, this curse is coming unto you because you listened to your wife. And immediately it came into the man, never listen to the wife. Never listen to anything your wife says. There came a spiritual deafness on man. Because God said, because you hearken to the voice of your wife, it went to the wife. Now when the wife talks, that's what happens. Now that is a result of Eve anger that was in Adam. That's why they won't listen to us. Their ears are shut. That's why we say they're stubborn. Because it's a rebellion against the wife. Eve anger in the man. Now we have Adam anger in Eve. We have God anger in Adam and Eve anger in Adam. And Adam anger towards God. So it's a man on man. Man against woman. Man against man. It's all complicated. The next thing, and don't you know, because we're all guilty of this too. When we do something wrong and then the consequences come to us, we're trying to find somebody to blame, and then we're mad at ourselves for doing it. Don't you just get mad at yourself? So there's self-anger. Anger itself. Offense at God. Okay? Because you hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. So now where they used to live, and it all they had to do was tend the garden. They didn't have to work at the garden. They just had to tend it. Break a twig here. You know, there, it wasn't laborious work, but now it's laborious work. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. See, now the ground is going to work against you instead of working for you. And your work becomes laborious and it becomes a burden. and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. That's a life sentence. A life sentence. But God, thank you, Jesus. When you come into Jesus, you will find work that will not be a burden. You turn from hating the thing to giving God thanks for the thing. But there's still some things going on in that workplace that can cause it to be a problem, and that's Adam anger and Eve anger. Because now you've got other people to deal with. Other women, other men, authority figures. See, that was another thing that came in. Resentment to the authority. Because God was the authority. And now they're offended at the authority. They rebelled against authority. And it was inborn to every one of us when we were born. So we have parents that we don't want to do what they say. We're against the authority of our parents. At school, we're rebelling against the teachers or the principal. You go out and get a job and you're rebelling against your boss and your coworkers. I think there's really something here. Adam was rebuked for not standing up and taking his place. He was rebuked. Here's his punishment right here. He didn't speak up when he should have. Let me say that again. He didn't speak up when he should have. Now instead of the garden being blessed, it's cursed. Well, they were run out of the garden. They lost the garden totally. Life is not easy. Where it used to be rest, now they have hard work. And instead of things working in cooperation with them and for them, it worked against them. We always hear that Adam or that Eve was the one who was deceived. Adam just sinned. Eve was deceived. Adam was seduced by a doctrine of demons. What is a doctrine of demons? Anything that contradicts the Word of God. Anything that contradicts the Word of God. Okay, now let's go back to Adam anger and Eve anger. We've seen so far that it brought up offense, blame. Now, you know good and well they had shame and because they were hiding. Shame came in, fear, doubt and unbelief, because, you know, now deception is there. It came in, and they're going to have doubt and unbelief. They were disobedient, rebellious, idolatry, because they were disloyal to God. And that's idolatry. They decided, let's be our own God in this situation. That's idolatry. Rebellion is idolatry. It set into motion jealousy and competition. This is where we get those, that's a typical female, typical male. That's where those stereotypes came from. It caused division between Adam and Eve immediately. Strife, fault-finding and blame, critical spirit, all those things. Turn to James chapter 3, verse 7. James chapter 3. And because of all of those things that happened in the garden, we deal with them in everyday life, even in the church. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed by mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, or in other words, with it we bless God, even the Father, and with it we curse men who are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs? So can no fountain yield both salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife are, there is confusion and every evil work. And see, every bit of that was born into us. It came right out of the garden. So when we come to Jesus, those things, as we talked about the other night, are supposed to be, those are the things we are to purge from ourselves. We purge those things. We depart from those things. But you know, we really hang on to a lot of those things. We take them right into our marriage, and we bring them right into our children, and then we all go to church and bring them right into church. And we talked about a lot of those things, the earthly, the sensual, the devilish, the envying, the strife, the confusion, the evil work. Satan is the author of confusion. So where all of that is, it says it is evil. There is every evil thing if those things are there. It's what causes you to go into the workplace, and immediately they become your competition. You know, if a new woman comes into the office, we've all been there. New woman comes into the office. New woman comes into the church. It starts. All the women that have been there for a while, you know, they start picking this person apart, or they're jealous of them, or they're competing with them, or criticizing them. That's Eve anger, woman on woman anger. So again, it causes us to repent, which means change our thinking. We've got to change our thinking. Remember the other day I was talking about when I was having to learn how not to be selfish, which means thinking about yourself all the time and wanting the best for yourself. And so I would force myself to take the egg with the broken yolk and give Mike the two eggs that didn't have the broken yolk. That was, you know, it was a small step, but it was a huge in breaking selfishness, breaking that thing of wanting the best for yourself. No, I choose to give the best to Mike, and I'm going to eat the broken yolk. Well, when it comes to jealousy, when I learned that had to go. And if somebody would bring up something and it would create jealousy in me, you know the things that come out when you're jealous of somebody. You can't say anything nice. When you're jealous, it's yucky. So I had to train myself so that if I heard, oh, you know, if somebody got a promotion, or maybe they were going to get a new house, or maybe they got new carpet, or maybe they came over to show us their brand new car, which we could never do in our early days. We could never buy a brand new car. And so it stirred up jealousy, envy, covetousness, you know, all that stuff. And that's, it's nasty. It's from the pit of hell, and the only thing that can come out of that is ugly. So I had to, like the egg, I would go, I am so happy for y'all. This is a beautiful car. You share their joy. You share their joy. Jealousy cannot share anybody's joy. It burns with jealousy, that hot passion, like liquid coals and lava out of a volcano. So we have to repent and change our thinking, and we've got to start retraining ourselves. And it's got to start right now, today, as you become aware of these things. So instead of jealous remarks, you start making a plan. Okay, the next time, because I wasn't successful right away, and it was hard at first, but you know, the more you do it, the easier it got. And then I'll tell you, the word says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But other things can come also the same way, by hearing. When you hear it, when you hear your come out of your mouth, you hear it with your ears. It comes out of your mouth, you hear it with your ears. Might not be heartfelt, sincere when the first time, you know, the first few times you do it, but the more you do it and the more you hear it, it goes down in here and it becomes real. It becomes real. You have to train yourself to be joy, the Bible says, weep, we weep with those who weep, and we, you know, we share the joy with those who have joy. It's a different nature. It's not Adam and Eve's nature anymore, the fallen pair. It's the divine nature of Christ, of God. God is love. So examine yourself. When it's like, that's another thing we do. We examine everybody else. Start examining yourself. Because I'll tell you, when you stand before God, He's not going to ask your husband to be accountable for what you do. You're accountable for your own self. And neither are you going to stand between your husband and God. That's like the accuser of the brethren. Well, let me tell you what he did. You can't do. He's got to be accountable for himself. Get your eyes off of him. Get your eyes off everybody else. Get your eyes on yourself. I'll tell you, when I started praying, I know now, I don't even pray for God to change people anymore. Because when I used to pray for God to change Mike, He required me to change. Every single time, I finally got it. Oh, I'm getting this. I've got to be the one to change. And then when I changed, lo and behold, He changed. That's the way it works. That's why we're frustrated all the time, because we're trying to change people and we can't change them. But we can allow God to change us. Okay. Women not only want their husband's place, because it's Adam anger, we really want the man's place. I don't know about y'all, but I have noticed over the years, and I was this way in the beginning. Okay, here's the things that need to be done around the house. The grass needs to be mowed. The washing needs to be done. The vacuuming needs to be done. Laundry, all this stuff in the house. Well, I'd rather mow the grass. Why? Well, because my place was in the home. See, it's a rebellion. Immediately, we don't want to do what we're supposed to do. It's a rebellion. We'd rather mow the grass. We would rather go out and work than be in the home. That happened in the garden. It's rebellion. It's Eve anger and Adam anger. And in the world, because this is so widespread, the world has really, the enemy, has caused women to resent their place. The enemy has caused women to resent their place. See, we're supposed to be a helper to our husbands. A helper. That word, helper, the helpmeet, means to surround, protect, and aid. Not provide for. See, he buys the house, she makes it a home. Big difference. We're not supposed to buy the house. We're supposed to make the home. He buys the house. See, things are so confused because of all of this. She's supposed to make it a place of comfort and rest and peace. And the man also has a defined role. But to find that distinction in the definitions of those roles is getting dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. So we've lost the family unit, marriage, you know, all of that. It's fading quickly. When a man finds, it says in Proverbs 18:22, it says, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor from the Lord." See? That wife is a good thing. But, you know, sometimes shortly after marriage, they're wondering. I'm sure Mike was scratching his head. Like I was. What have I done? Because we were married a short time. You know, we didn't live together, so I didn't know how messy he was. I mean, after 2 or 3 days, I'm thinking, what on earth? He came in one day. For a long time I was picking it up, and then I got tired of picking it up. I thought, what's the deal? He's an adult. He can pick this stuff up and put it up as easy as I can. I put my stuff up. So then it starts. So I thought one day, I just thought, you know what? I'm just going to not pick it up. I'm just going to see how long he can just not pick stuff up. And he walked in one day and he said, "This place is a mess." And I said, "His socks are those. His tennis racket. His shoes. I get it. Who's shaving cream? Who's razor? Who's towel? Towel. But I gotta tell you though, he's gotten a lot. One time I was working before we had children. I worked, and we were having this insurance guy come over or something. And I didn't know he was coming that day. And I knew that we had left some things in the living room, you know. And so I called him. He got home before I did. I said, "Honey, that insurance guy's coming. Would you straighten up before I get home?" Okay. So I got home, and all the shoes that were in the living room were in a nice, neat row. He didn't put them up. He did what I asked. I should have been specific. "Would you straighten up?" Okay, I'll straighten up these shoes and straighten up all these newspapers and straighten up all this stuff. You got to be very specific. But now, see, he's still messy some, but not long ago, a lady who comes to camp, her husband died. And before I even got here, you know, it was like I try to leave the house clean so when I come home, it's clean, sort of. So he always, I don't know what it is, I mean, he has socks, but he's going to save these socks, so he drapes them over the bathtub. And the towel is draped over the sink. I call him Mr. Wad and Stuff, because he never folds anything, he just wads it up and stuffs it in a drawer. But anyway, so I see those socks there when I get home, and before I leave, and I'm thinking, oh, you know, I'm not even going to clean all that stuff up, it'll just be there when I get back. So when I got back, I had been to camp, and one of the women had lost their husband. And I tell you, it changed my perspective, because I got home, and I saw those socks over the bathtub, and I thought about her. And I said, "Lord, I'm so happy to see those socks. I am happy to see those socks over my bathtub, because the alternative could be no socks, no man." So, you know, every once in a while, things happen, and it brings your priorities back in order. And so I got to where when I would pick up his things, I would just pray for him as I took it wherever it needed to be. So it's not like grumbling about having to pick up his stuff. Those are just some little things. Okay, so this Adam anger, Eve anger, it's in every area of everything. And our command is to love. Look at Ephesians 5, verse 22. Now see, even though Christ has come, the curse is broken, Jesus became a curse. But you know, when we have these curses are broken by the blood of Jesus Christ, but if you don't know about it, you can't appropriate the blood of Jesus to it. That's why I just love that God gave this. Adam anger, Eve anger. Who would have thought that it was in so much? And the blood of Jesus did break this, but I'd never heard about it, in order to appropriate the blood of Jesus to it. Now, even though the curse is broken, God still puts an order. Now he wants to protect the woman from that ever happening again. So in verse 22, it says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." Now, I want to tell you something I learned about that. In our early years, I thought that that meant that I had to do everything that he said. And we had I got saved 1 year after we got married. Now, before that, we ran around with this crowd. You know, on the weekends, we'd bring our six-pack, and we would watch football games or play baseball or watch the guys play baseball or whatever. And then after that, I didn't, you know, want to do that. And there were even other activities that I didn't involve myself in. But they would still invite us to these parties. And I didn't want to go. But I thought, to be a submissive wife, I had to go. Because, that you know, you submit and you do what he says. But what this means, as unto the Lord, I began to take these things to the Lord and pray about them. Lord, we've been invited to this party, and you know what they do over there, and I don't want any part of that. I mean, I didn't even involve myself in it whenever I wasn't saved, but now I don't even want to be there. So, that's, you know, Mike would want to go. And sometimes, before I learned this, but the instance that I learned it in was I had been invited to go to a Bible camp, and it was a holiday weekend, and I wanted to go. And I needed to go because we had three little children at this time, and I was tired. I was strung out, stressed out. I needed a break away from the children, away from the daily routine. And this, my aunt and uncle had invited me to this camp, and I wanted to go. I really wanted to go. In the past, I would have just told Mike, I'm going. But now I'm learning to be a submissive wife. So I said to the Lord, like the egg yolk thing, I want to go. And instead of just telling him I'm going, I said, Lord, I want to go. Now, I'm going to ask Mike if I can go. And I'm going to trust that whatever his answer is to me is your will for me. Now, ordinarily, he wouldn't have wanted me to go. And we would have, you know, tension, and he would end up saying, do whatever you want to do, and I would go. But there was that thing there because I didn't feel free. I didn't have peace because I knew he didn't want me to go. So this was a real different approach. Lord, I want to go. And I'm going to ask him, and whatever he says, I'm going to take that as your will for me. And I asked him, and lo and behold, he said I could go. I'm thinking, ooh, submission is a good thing. When you submit, but you take it to God first. You take it to God first, and then you submit to your husband. That way God's involved in it. You involve God in everything. And most of the time, it works out like you want it to. Instead of just pushing your, you know, that struggle thing. Okay, so wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Okay, let me see how many scriptures I'm supposed to read here. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, now on the flip side of that, husbands, love your wives. How? Like your daddy loved your mama? No. I mean, some of us had daddies that loved their mamas good. A lot of people had daddies that didn't love their mamas good. So how do you love your wife? As Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives. Love your wife as you love yourself. Love your wife as you love yourself. Had some people falling asleep here. I bind that spirit that doesn't want the men and the women to hear this. So you love your wife as you love your own body. I've never known a man that didn't love himself pretty good. So you love your wife like you love yourself. If we had this going on in marriage, we'd put the divorce courts out of business. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause, again, shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. That's how you become one flesh. Men, love your wives as Christ loved the church, and women, submit yourselves to your husbands as unto the Lord. Then you'll have that thing that God wanted you to have. Nevertheless, this is a great mystery, but I speak it's a great mystery in marriage, just as it is the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife, see that she reverence her husband. See, the men, Adam always knows what Eve is supposed to do. Eve always knows what Adam is supposed to do. We just need Adam to do what he's supposed to do and Eve to do what she's supposed to do. And then we'll have a good thing. Now, I want to give you a little warning, guys. In 1 Peter chapter 3, we all want our prayers answered, don't we? Well, look at 1 Peter chapter 3. This will put a little more importance on this loving your wives as Christ loved the church. 3:7. In like manner, ye husbands, dwell with them, your wife. Well, no, one. He's talking to many husbands. Let me clarify that. He's talking to many husbands. Love your wives. So, husband, love your wife according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Now, she's not the weaker vessel. Remember, after Christ, y'all are back together. Partners, 50-50. But you are to honor her and treat her as the weaker vessel. You protect her. You nurture her. You take care of her. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. You see that? So husbands, if you are not loving your wives and treating them like they're supposed to be treated, it's going to hinder your prayers. So if you want your prayers answered, be good to your wife. He goes on to say, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one for another, love as brethren, be pitiful, and that is, you know, it means have pity. It exercise pity with one another, not, it doesn't mean be pitiful. Be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but on the contrary, blessing. Knowing that ye are called to this, we are called to this, that ye should inherit a blessing. See, it's conditional. Salvation is free. All the rest of it is conditional. Now, salvation, healing, deliverance, you know, but it's all conditional after that. If ye, then this. You do this, this will follow. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they should speak no guile. Let him eschew hate evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So do good to your wives. Okay, now we're going to have some deliverance. We're going to get rid of this Adam and Eve thing so we can have good marriages, good girlfriends, good guy friends, good work places in every area of your life. I'm expecting there to be change because of this. Okay? So we are all going to pray this prayer. Lord, forgive me for being angry at Adam and Eve, For doing exactly what I would have done. And for exactly what I have done. I now forgive Adam.
I now forgive Eve.
Okay, now this is just for the men. Men, I want you to say, Lord, forgive me for blaming you when things went wrong in my life that were the result of my own wrongdoings. Okay. Lord, forgive me, men, for rebelling against and having innate resentment. That means it was born into you. You didn't decide on it. It was already there. And anger toward those men in authority over me throughout my life. Now I want you to think of every man that you can think of that you have had problems with that this could possibly be the root of, and begin to forgive. Anger towards, I forgive my father, I forgive my teachers, my counselors, my coaches, principals, bosses, supervisors, preachers, all men, brothers, church brothers, natural brothers. Forgive them now and ask the Lord to forgive you for being a part of this Adam anger. Say, Lord, forgive me for being angry at myself. Okay. Now, men, say, Lord, forgive me for having Eve anger towards the women, women in general, and women in my life. Now, I want you to ask God to forgive you for the anger that you had towards your mother, your sisters, women that you worked with, your wife. That should have been first. Your wife. Lord, we thank you. Thank you because you say that if we confess our sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We thank you. Okay, now, if you're a guy and your wife is here, I want you to look at her and say, honey, or sweetie pie, or whatever you call her. Look at your husband. How many married couples do we have present? Okay. Just three, huh? Okay, well, y'all go ahead and do it because y'all are going to be married. They're getting married, y'all, next Saturday. Say, please forgive me, or will you forgive me for taking my Eve anger out on you? And ladies, you say, I forgive you. Or if y'all need to go home and discuss some things. But at some point you need to make that step, because I'm telling you, it's a problem. That innate Adam anger and Eve anger and anger towards God and anger towards self is messing with your life. Okay. Now, women, say, Lord, forgive me for being offended at Adam, for blaming me, and for the shame I felt when he pointed at me. Forgive me for Adam anger that has caused problems in every relationship with men in my life. Okay. Now, women, say, Lord, forgive me for having Eve anger towards other women that has caused problems with the women in my life. Okay. Now, you look at your husband and say, honey, sweetie pie, please forgive me for taking my Adam anger out on you. Will you forgive me? Okay? Okay, now, if you're here and your mate is not, y'all need to go home and do this. Because it's very important. Okay, so now, since we have confessed that we have Well, we made the confession that we've had Adam anger and Eve anger. So right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I take authority over the spirit of Adam anger and Eve anger and God anger and self anger. I bind and break the power off of everybody in this room right now in the name of Jesus. I command you to loose the women and let them go. I command you to loose the men and let them go in Jesus' name. I come against every fault-finding spirit right now in the name of Jesus. I break your power and command you to go. Every blaming spirit, fault-finding spirit, critical spirit, in the name of Jesus, the spirit of offense, I bind you and break your power right now in Jesus' name. I come against disobedience and rebellion right now. I bind you and break your power and command you to go. Let's cooperate. Take a deep breath, and I command those spirits to come out in Jesus' name. Come out on the breath in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of disobedience and rebellion, every spirit of being mad at yourself, every spirit of being mad at your wife, anger at your wife, go in Jesus' name. Continuous anger at your husband all the time, go in Jesus' name. Anger at men in particular, just man anger, just not liking men, man hatred spirits, go right now in the name of Jesus. I come against all spirits of competition between women and women and men with women who have authority over them and women who have men authority over them. I come against all spirits of rebellion against authority in Jesus' name. I come against spirits of irresponsibility, not wanting to stand up and take responsibility for your own actions. I bind those spirits right now and command them to go. I come against all covering yourself, making excuses for what you've done and not taking accountability. I bind those spirits right now and command them to go. All spirits of hurt and being offended, getting your feelings hurt, being offended by your husband, offended by your mother, offended by your daddy. I come against that super sensitivity spirit in the name of Jesus, just wanting to get your, like a porcupine all the time. I just bind those spirits right now and command them to go. I break every spirit of deception right now in Jesus' name. Every spirit of deception, go. Every spirit of doubt and unbelief, go right now in Jesus' name. All spirits of doubting God's word, doubting what he's told you, rebelling against what he told you. All spirits of idolatry for believing the enemy in Jesus' name, go in the name of Jesus. All spirits of betrayal, go in the name of Jesus. When you were blamed, I just break that spirit of betrayal right now in Jesus' name. All spirits of jealousy and competition, that strife and contention, that tug of war that goes on in your marriage or in your relationships, in Jesus' name. I come against cursing God's people, complaining against them or talking behind their backs, finding every little critical thing wrong in the name of Jesus. That is cursing God's people when you do that. It's witchcraft. I come against all witchcraft spirits in marriages, in relationships, with your parents, with coworkers, with schoolmates, with girlfriends, boyfriends, guy friends, whatever. In Jesus' name, all spirits of witchcraft, manipulating and being sneaky and going behind backs in the name of Jesus. All those spirits, I bind you right now and command you to go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Have I missed any? I come against the spirits of unforgiveness. All spirits of unforgiveness in Jesus' name. Saying you'll never forgive somebody because they hurt you. Never forgive somebody because they betrayed you. In Jesus' name. I come against every form of betrayal in marriage. Betrayal in friendships. Betrayal against your own self. In the name of Jesus, I bind you and command you to go in Jesus' name. You come out of God's people. We're not going to have Adam anger and Eve anger. We're not going to have contention and strife all the time. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. Lord, I just thank you for this. I thank you for Adam anger, the for the revelation knowledge of how Adam anger and Eve anger has been working in our life. Lord, I break it right now. I break it off God's people. I release the wives to love their husbands. I release the husbands to love their wives. I release parents to love their children, to love each other, grandparents, friends. I just release the love of God on everybody to be able to get along like God wants us to get along, to treat each other with love. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that we can walk now with our sisters and not be jealous and competing with one another. I thank you that we can live in our homes and not have tug of wars with our husbands and these silly little arguments that have sprung up over this Adam anger and Eve anger. I just command it to go in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you. Thank you for peace in our homes. Thank you for oneness in marriage. I just release oneness on marriages. Unity in marriages. Peace in marriages. In the name of Jesus. Honoring one another. Loving one another. Taking care of one another. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I just ask you to seal this word right now. Seal it. Lord, let it ring in their ears for a long, long time until it becomes a practice. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.